Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, preacher. Thank you for allowing us to come here to Maryland. I count it an honor and a joy. Take your Bible, turn to John 21, Gospel of John chapter 21. And your preacher has such a great spirit, great desire to serve God, and certainly a very knowledgeable man of God. And you that are members already know that. You've been with him, some of you, for the last 2 years almost, and others of you a shorter time. But you've learned already he is genuine. He's real. And he loves the Lord. And he doesn't mind preaching truth. And that's what's needed in our lives today, and certainly in our local churches today. And so we had a good time in Sunday school. And let me admonish you, if you weren't there and you're a member, get in Sunday school. Sunday school is where you learn, and you need to learn to strengthen your faith and strengthen your life, and for God to be able to help you in that realm. So please get into Sunday school, and thank God for you. And we're going to have a good time this week. I hope you'll be here for every service. And we prayed about it. We feel like God's given us some messages to challenge the local body of Christ, the church. And at the same time, others that come, hopefully God will use his word to deal with hearts. And so excited about that. Well, he had you sit. I'm going to have you stand one more time in honor of reading the Word of God together. And we're going to read in chapter 21. We're going to read beginning in verse number 15. John 21, verse number 15. The Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith to them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith him to feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Let me stop right here and just tell you this. I don't think that the Lord was trying to prove a point and to remind Peter of the three times he denied him and ask him a question. But if I was Peter standing there or seated there, I would remember the three times. You know, the Lord preaches his word and teaches his word to the man of God and others. And when you're sitting there, it may not be the very thing that the preacher intended for you to get, but God intended for you to get. That's why it's so important to sit under the word of God and know that, as I said earlier in Sunday school, a thought, one scripture, or just one statement can help change your life if you're listening on purpose. Now watch here, if you will, verse number 18. Or let me finish that one, the last part of verse number 17. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Father in heaven, Lord, we sure love you this morning. Lord, I don't want to get up here and just preach another message. I need your power, your presence, your unction. Holy Spirit of God, I need you. I pray, Heavenly Father, you speak to every single heart, no matter who they might be, no matter whether they're a member or not, no matter the age, the background, their economic position or place in life, but that you speak to all of us today. And Father, I pray for the church, this church, that you'd speak to the body of Christ in particular this morning as well. So, Father, have your will and way, we pray, and ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his sake only we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Out of this text here that we've read, and we'll get back to some of the verses in just a moment, I want to preach to you on this subject, the greatest responsibility of the local church. The greatest responsibility of the local church. Now, when I say the greatest responsibility of the local church, I'm talking about all members of the body of Christ. I'm talking about the local church here in your city that you belong to. Well, some say, well, I know what the greatest responsibility of the church, you mentioned it in Sunday school. And that would be, if you will, the Great Commission. And you know what? The Great Commission is certainly our responsibility. And souls is the reason that God allowed the church to be started, Jesus starting that church, and the apostles and others continuing, and us doing the same today. Great responsibility, world missions at home and abroad. But that's not the greatest responsibility. Somebody said, well, all right, I've got it now. It's worship. I know about you, but I learned years ago to come to church to worship the Lord. I don't come to church with preconceived notions or emotions or anything else. I come to church to worship God. If we'll ever learn to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, sing the music, and have a good time, listen to the Word of God, we'll be better Christians because of that. All right? But understand this, worship's not the greatest responsibility of the local church. Well, what is it? Well, we'll get there in just a moment, but I want you to listen to me and listen to me carefully this morning. There is a greater responsibility than both of those put together, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. J.P. Markin, in a novel that he had written called Point of No Return, said these words, and I quote, "He knew all the little answers, but he missed all the large questions." There are a lot of questions in life today. For the child of God, for the lost people, you may be here today and you don't know whether you died, you'd go to heaven. There's questions that you need to have answered. Some of those questions are questions that you and I in our Christian life have already answered. For example, if a man die, shall he live again? Job 14:14. Job answered that question himself. He said in Job 19, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand," listen, "at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, who I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me." What a powerful verse that is. Job knew there was a life after death. He knew that one day he would see his Redeemer. And by the way, there's a parallel passage for you and I in the New Testament. Remember it? 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." How many of you are looking for the coming of the Lord? You're going to get to see him face to face. You're going to get to see him as he is. We're going to get to know him, the Savior we've known our entire Christian life. What a ray of hope for every child of God and for every lost person to get a hold of that, be born again, have that same hope. I like this. "What is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I remember Dr. Howes years ago preaching on that subject and just got a hold of me, and I cannot repeat what he said because it was so good. But homiletically, we could apply that to the lost person. What does a man profit? He shall gain his whole world and lose his own soul. But it written in Mark chapter 8, and I hope you'll listen to this, Mark chapter 8, verse 36, is having lost our identity as children of God and as his church and our reason for being in this world today. And in this day, that is so very important. It's important that they know who we are. It's important they know who we represent. It's important they know we have the truth. It's important that the world knows what Christianity really is. So what does a man profit if we gain the whole world but lose our identity, if you will, as children of God and the right local church to attend? I like this. What is your life? The Bible tells us in James, it's just like a vapor, appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Folks are passing away at all ages. You know that. I have buried 2 stillborn infants in the church that I pastored, carried them to a gravesite and buried them in a little casket about that big and put them in the ground, but knowing that they are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being able to give that hope unto the family in that day. I've also buried a man 21 years old, shot by drive-by shooting in the wrong place at the wrong time, shot in the head. Met with his family, never carried him to church his entire 21 years, and they were not willing to come to our church for any reason, but they wanted me to do the funeral. I like this one. What is man? Boy, that's a good question. Psalm 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? We dropped on a plane yesterday morning early and began to rise up to about 40,000 feet as we went from Dallas to here. And as we got up, you ever been in a plane and you start rising up, everything gets what? Smaller. And to a point where you can't what? See it anymore. You ever thought about how big God is? Nobody's ever found God. God created everything they found, God's created. And the thing is, if God is that big and he is, if he's that awesome and he is, and he's that far out, we can't find him. Thank God we will one day. Hear me. But God looked down and found you. And God looked down and found me. And God in His omniscient mind knew I was going to be born again and save me on the very night that He knew I'd get saved and you knew you'd get saved, whatever day that might have been. What is man that thou art mindful, that God would look down today in a world of 7.8 billion people and be concerned about you or about me? But He was. And by the way, He still is. You would agree with me this morning, those are pretty big questions to be asked. However, there is no larger question than the one that was asked in our text here today. When Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" No greater responsibility than that. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully before I give you a few thoughts. Hear me well. How many of us, don't raise your hand right now, but how many of us really love God like we should? Think about that for just a moment. If the child of God loved God like they should, they would obey God like they should. If the child of God loved God like we should, we would find a place to serve like we should. If we love God like we should, we would obey every truth that has been delivered to us and given to us through the man of God, through our teacher, through the Word of God that is delivered unto us. But hear me well, not everybody does, do they? The account here in John 21 took place after the crucifixion. It took place after His resurrection. Peter and the other apostles had returned to the Sea of Galilee. First few verses we'll see in a moment. They turned to the Sea of Galilee, went back fishing there in that sea. You remember the Bible said they toiled all night and they caught nothing. And toward dawn they headed for the shore. As they neared that shore, there was a figure silhouetted against the eastern sky there, and they immediately could not recognize who it was. It was Jesus. They had gotten so far away from the Lord in their own life, they couldn't recognize their own Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that have gotten far away from God. And they've got involved in things in their life they should never get involved in. They drifted and drifted and drifted. They never lost their salvation, but drifted so far away they couldn't even recognize God if He stood in front of them. Without waiting for the ship to come to shore, Peter, finally, when John spoke up and said, "It's the Lord," jumped from the boat, swam to the shore, and up on that shore with Jesus. Jesus already prepared a meal. He was cooking there that day, fish and bread. Kind of a reminder is what it was. When He began to give out fish and bread, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, you all remember the story? No doubt, if you've been under the preaching of the Word of God, and somebody brings these things to note again, it reminds you, and I have no doubt, it reminded Peter, and it reminded the others that when He had called them, and He called them to follow Him, and He would make them fishers of what? Men. And yet, here they were, back fishing, doing what they used to do before they got called of Jesus. Now they weren't fishing for men, they were fishing for their old life. They were fishing for fish in that day. He swam to shore and began to sit and converse with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said after they had dined, after they had eaten, Jesus turned to Peter. And in verse 15, look at it again. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now listen to me. Here's what he did not ask, and this is important. He did not ask Peter in this setting. He did not say, "Peter, do you love my sheep?" He did not say unto Peter, "Do you love serving? Do you love service or the ministry?" He did not say, "Peter, do you love this or love that?" He said, "Do you love me?" Well, it's a question all of us need to answer this morning. Do we really love? By the way, if we want revival, if we want our church to grow, if we want things to be the way God wants, we got to learn how to love Him. Your preacher said a moment ago, we can't love Him like He loved us. That's true. He has a love that forgives lost sinners of every sin they've ever committed, and we can't do that. But we can certainly direct them to the one who can. Do you love me? You know, it's our love that Christ wants this morning. It's our love that Christ deserves this morning. And it's our love that Christ expects this morning. And by the way, you and I are totally capable of giving back that love to Him this very day. You remember this scripture? The Bible said, Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, listen now, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Ghost is there to what? Lead, guide, and direct us. You remember that? And here's the thing. Do you not think that this love, how many of you saved, say amen? Do you realize that you were given, you can call it agape love, I call it supernatural love. Yes. You were given the ability to love supernaturally. Yes. You were given the ability to love God. You were given the ability to love others. You were given the ability to love your spouse, to love your children. You were given a brand new supernatural love. Not like you loved the devil, loved the world before you got saved, but a love that you had never ever experienced until you were gloriously born again. A supernatural love. There was an African pastor years ago who said these penetrating words, and I quote, he said, "My people do not know how to read, nor do they know how to write, but they do know how to love." That's powerful. Years ago, in Lakeland Baptist Church, the only church, second church I pastored, there was a young man that was sitting on the second row right here on the far side, and his name was Gary Binion. And Gary was in my new converts class. He had been gloriously born again. He had no education. He had a third grade education. He was in his 40s at the time, late 30s, early 40s. Gary Binion could not read. He could not write. But hang on, look up here. He got born again. Are you listening to what I just said? No education. His background and family were a total wreck. And yet, he was gloriously born again. Hear me now. And attended my new convert class faithfully. I got him a recorder so he could record and take the things home, because he couldn't keep up with the outlines and things like we had this morning. Couldn't keep up. But look up here. Every Sunday morning, the following Sunday, we'd ask questions about last week's message. Guess what? Guess who answered them first? He answered them first. Why? Because his heart was on fire for God. That God would love a wretched sinner like him with no education, with no background, no life, love him, find him a church home to come to where the pastor loved him, the people loved him. He had nothing going for him except Jesus. Amen. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "There are thousands of men who would become more useful in God's kingdom and His church if they'd wake up to this fact. It isn't brains God's looking for. It's the heart."
Yes, sir.
It's the heart. The heart of God's people. The love of God's people. And this encounter with Peter, as the other disciples looked on, tells us about that love. It tells us what Christ is looking for. It tells us that Christ wants our love. He deserves our love. He expects our love. And question to you, and don't raise your hand again, but do you really love Jesus? Let's be careful how we answer that this morning. I want you to consider with me these three thoughts this morning. We'll be done. Number one, I want you to consider that Christ wants our love supremely. Over and above all things. Over and above everyone else. John 21:15 here again says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He said to them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Our Lord's first question to Peter was, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And that term, or that phrase, "more than these," has a lot of different commentaries that say a lot of different things about it. But hear me well, that phrase has been an interesting phrase, debated from the time it was written. And let me just give you what I think it really meant. There have been a few thoughts about this, but here let me tell you what God gave me. Some have suggested that the phrase "more than these" represented the boats and nets that lay nearby, and the 153 fishes that laid right there beside them. That makes for a good thought, because Peter and the others were fishing when Jesus came back and found them, were they not? They weren't doing what God called them to do. The boats and nets represented Peter's what? His old way of life. There are a lot of Christians today that don't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, because they've gone back to so many of their old ways of life and the things that they desire, instead of looking to God for what He desires for their life. They represented His former occupation. They represented His principal form of family recreation and friendship with the other fishermen who He was fishing with at this time. Oh, this is powerful, preacher. You've been over this a many times. Maybe some of you, but when I found it years ago, it blew my mind. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Y'all believe your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
This is now the, what time? This is now the third time that Jesus appeared or showed himself to the disciple. After that he was, what's that next word? Now look up here, ladies and gentlemen. If you and I had the opportunity to have been there and watched, seen the empty grave, and later he appeared unto all the apostles. Remember that? Now Thomas wasn't there, kind of like most Baptists. They miss every other service. But he finally made it back one summer. Y'all with me? And he got to meet him. You know, I'm going to stick my hand and fingers in his hand side. No, he didn't. He fell at the feet of God in the flesh. His name was Jesus Christ. Now he had been glorified. Are y'all listening? By the way, that's where we need to be, is at his feet. Because at his feet is where you learn what he wants you to do. You can call it the foot of Calvary. You can call it whatever you want to. How many remember the demoniac of Gadara? Y'all remember when Jesus come into that graveyard and the demoniac of Gadara, that demon-possessed man, somebody's son. I don't know if he was a father. I don't know if he had a brother or sister. I know he was somebody's son because he didn't find him under a rock. Mama borned him somewhere in the life. And the Bible said when Jesus walked into the garden or into the cemetery there, what happened? He ran to him and he fell at his feet and he what? Worshiped the Lord. Now wait a minute. John chapter 4 says you can't worship the Lord outside of truth and spirit. So how in the world did the demoniac end up, hear me now, end up falling at the feet of Jesus and worshiping him somewhere between the time he started back there and got the feet of Jesus? He got born again. Now look up here. Somebody said, well, he didn't get born again. Nobody stopped, took King James Bible, opened it up and showed him how to get saved. No, the King James Bible was standing there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And from that point to that point where he'd worship him, Jesus changed that man, saved that man to where he could worship him.
Yes.
Look up here. If you've been saved and said amen, you were saved. Here, hear me. We've been away from his feet way too long. That's why there's no revival. That's why there's nobody that's filling all the vacancies in a local church. And there's a lot of them. We'll say more about that later. But now watch. This gets even better here. This gets even better. This phrase, more than these, what did it represent? Well, it could have represented his whole way of life. It could have represented those that were with him that day. They were all good friends. They had just spent 3.5 years together with the Lord Jesus. And he said, he may have said, do you love me more than these men here? I don't know. But I do know he wanted them to love him supremely. Look at Luke chapter, if you will, with me. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And this is only found three times in this Bible this way, but it's powerful. Luke chapter 10. And are y'all still with me? If I get in a little bit of hurry, I'm watching the clock. I don't want to get too late now. Cowboys are playing here in a little bit. Oh, excuse me. Luke chapter 10. Watch it now. Luke chapter 10. Look down at verse 27. Now he met with this lawyer, you know the story, we're going to read it again later in another chapter. Verse 27, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's powerful, isn't it? You know what he was saying? We're to love God with that supernatural love. We're to love God from within without. He loved us. He changed us. We fell at his feet, got born again one day. Now he's given us a life to live for him. He's given us opportunity to serve him. He's given us opportunity to be blessed by him. And all we have to do is obey. Simple. Just do what he's asked us to do. And there are a lot of things your preacher has taught you, and we'll see, fill in some things along the way as well. Now, do I love the Lord supremely this morning? Do you love him supremely? In other words, do you love him above all else? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I'm going to begin to read, but when you get there, just pick up with me. We'll be in verse number 34 and following, Matthew chapter 10. The Bible said, think not, this is Jesus speaking, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. Well, he was right, there's not much of it, is there? You know where the peace is? It's in your heart. That's where it begins. Watch it. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. A sword's the word of God. It divides. Verse 35, for I've come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Do y'all read that in your Bible? You know what he's saying? If you love anything or anyone more than me, That's the these he's talking about. You know family can get in the way of you serving God? Why are you always down at that church? Why are you giving your money to that church? Why are you spending time on a Saturday at that church? Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
And the Word of God divides people that way. Clarence Thibodeau, New Orleans, Louisiana, Bible college student and went to college with. I mean, he was Cajun, Louisiana Cajun, people back in the swamps. He got saved in an independent Baptist church right outside of New Orleans, and his family just absolutely had a fit over it. They didn't want anything to do with him. They told him it wouldn't last, wouldn't it? But it did last. He not only did that, but he also, hear me, he also surrendered to be a preacher of the gospel and go off to Bible college. When he did that, look up here, when he did that, he loved God supremely. He loved him more than family. He loved him. Listen to me, God didn't say, hate our mom and father. He said, just don't let them get in the way of loving me. Hang on. His family held what you call awake. They disowned him. They burnt everything he had in that home that was anything, his pictures, everything, for his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, his love for the Word of God, his love for his calling. They disowned him in that day. I don't know about you, but nobody's disowned me. There's a lot of people stay away from me. Are y'all listening? Do we love him supremely? That's why I said be careful when you answer that question. The Bible says in Colossians that in all things, he may have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in your life this morning? Every decision you make brought before him? I'm talking about every decision. I mean, even if you buy a car, buy a home, decide to go here, decide to go there. If you move from this location to another, never ever move the location you're going to another till you find you a church. God's not going to lead you out of a good Bible-believing church, move you to an area that don't have a Bible-believing. That's not in God's... Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Do we love the Lord Jesus supremely? You know what Peter said to him, the one he's talking to? Here's what he said one day. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And I believe it was the Lord that said, before the cock crows, thrice, you're going to deny me three times. Y'all remember that? And it happened that way. You know, we can never be perfectly sure what Jesus meant by that phrase more than he, but we can be sure of this one thing. Whatever Jesus had reference to, Jesus was saying to Peter and to us this morning, I want you to love me above all else. I want you to love me supremely. And by the way, that's the only kind of love that he'll ever be totally satisfied with is when we love him supremely. A question, do you love him supremely? Is he considered in everything you do in life? Do you get up in the morning, read your Bible and talk to him and ask him what he wants for you today? Do you ask him what he wants you to be doing in the local church to obey and honor him? Because ladies and gentlemen, the way we show our love is actively showing our love. And then number two this morning, not only does he desire love and supreme, but Jesus desires us to love him actively. Look back at verse 15. Go back to our text now. This gets even better, gooder. Look at verse 15. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Watch now. He said unto him, what? Feed my lamb. Look at verse 16. Saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs in the first, feed my sheep in the second. Verse 17. He said to him that third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. Look up here. Do you love him supremely? Well, he wants you to love him actively. What is that? Every time he asked him, Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? You know what he did? He gave him a work assignment. He said to him, he said, I want you to feed my lambs. Lamb speaks of new converts. Yes. Speaks of children. You that work the bus or drive the van right now or whatever. And I hope one day you get the buses rolling because the bus ministry is still a great avenue into reaching local families in your community. And by the way, you read the Bible in Matthew 18 and Matthew 19. The Bible says that when you receive one of such these little ones in my name, it's like receiving me. And I told the bus ministry in our church, and we had one all 30 years, we had a great bus ministry. And here's the thing, when that child, or anybody for that matter, gets on that bus, it's like Christ climbing on your bus.
Yes, sir.
That ought to challenge anybody. But it takes that love. It takes that loving Him supremely and loving Him actively. And there's kids out here right now who moms and dads are crackheads and they don't have a job and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've been to them. I've seen the syringes. I've seen the liquor bottles. I've seen the drunken mama and daddy. Somebody needs to love the kids. If they don't, ISIS will get them. The devil's certainly going to get them. Jesus desires that we love Him actively. In every instance that Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" He gave him a work assignment. I believe it was Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, commandments are work assignments, ladies and gentlemen. Ephesians chapter 2, you don't need to turn there. I've got it. Listen to this. You'll know it well. You like this one, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Everybody like those two verses? Isn't that wonderful? But we'll always never read that third verse there. Here's what it said, verse number 10. "For we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus." Listen, created in Christ Jesus, "unto good works." Hear me. "Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, before you ever got saved, the Lord knew that when you got saved, you are already ordained to work.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Super.
To work.
Super.
To find a place in the church. I can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or chapter 12. I can show you where God has a place for every single member to serve. Some say, "Well, I don't think I could teach." I never thought I could teach. I was just an old cowboy, an old drunkard. Are y'all listening? And I got saved and born again. It's amazing when God changes your life. He gives you a new direction. He gives you eternal life. He gives you a desire to serve Him as well. Boy, I couldn't do anything when I first got saved, preacher. But my preacher would always take his watch off and lay it right here. I have no idea why, but he did. Because he never stuck by it. Amen. Y'all heard the... I know we're running out of time. Just hang on here. Hang on here. I'm eating at their house today. The meal will be... Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Y'all okay? Look up here. You know, we always come in to get out. Why don't we come in to stay once in a while? We want real revival. We need to hear from God. There's this little Catholic boy and Baptist boy, and they played together in their neighborhood. And little Catholic boy had been after that Baptist boy to come to his Catholic church, and he finally convinced his mom. Mom said, "Okay, you can go this one Sunday." Went, and I'm telling you, they got in there, and he smelling funny stuff in the auditorium, and watching these people walk around in white robes and lighting candles, and they bending down and kneeling down, they saying funny words. And that little Baptist boy asked that Catholic boy, said, "What are they doing?" And he explained to him, and he still didn't understand. So anyhow, they got out of services that day, and so they, in turn, he says, "I want you to come to my church." Said, "I'm a member of the Independent Baptist Church." And so he convinced the other mother, said, "Okay, you can go." You can go with him. So the little Catholic boy goes to the Baptist boy the next week, he watches. They sing out the hymns. They stand instead of kneel, you know. They don't burn no candles. You know, he was enjoying the services, and the preacher got up, took his Bible, laid it out, laid his hanky down, laid his watch right there. And that little old Catholic boy said, "Now, what did that mean?" And that little Baptist boy said, "Absolutely nothing." Is that all right, dear? My wife judges my jokes, okay? But you know what this talked about here? It talked about more than these and lambs and sheep. Talked about new converts, new Christians, baby Christians that need to be fed the Word of God. It also talked about sheep. That's the older Christians, more mature, that ought to be loving God, ought to be serving God, to feed them and take care of them. You know, God wants to see our love in action. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Hurry. Found that years ago, preacher, and it's the truth. The reason we get out late is not our fault. It's their fault. Well, look, are they still not turning? Look at there. Do you love Him supremely? Do you love Him actively? Now listen carefully. God wants to see our love in action. 1 John chapter... By the way, if I said a moment ago, how many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody would raise their hands. But are you loving Him supremely this morning? Are you loving Him actively? Watch here. 1 John chapter 3. You probably know exactly where I'm going to leave. Verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" By the way, the greatest need of anybody is not just pork and beans and some meat. It's their salvation. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Watch this. I'm for feeding people too. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. He wants us to love Him actively. He certainly wants us to love Him supremely. You say, well, go back there if you will, because this gets important in this last thought here. We need to learn to love Him supremely, love Him actively. Number three, we need Jesus looking for us to love Him openly. Look at John 21 again. And this is just so powerful right here. John chapter 21, verse 17. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know what's the truth? God knows every heart in here this morning. He knows all things. You can read Psalm 139. You can read Jeremiah 17 with the heart. God knoweth the heart. God knoweth everything. He knows my uprising. He knows everything. He knows where I was yesterday. He knows where I'm headed this afternoon. He knows my very thought right now. Are y'all listening? And He wants us to love Him openly. Peter became so frustrated. The Bible called it grieved when the Lord asked him Simon, lovest thou me? Here's what he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And you know what? He was right. He was right. Well, then what did he ask him for, preacher? Don't miss this. Don't you miss this. Here's why I asked him. He wanted Peter back at his feet. He wanted Peter at the foot of the cross, if you will. And here's what he wanted. He wanted Peter, listen, he wanted to hear it from Peter's heart. He wanted to hear it from Peter's lip. Peter needed to say it. Listen, it's one thing to sit back and say, you know what, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. No. No, you're not okay until you repent. You're not okay until you've been made right in Christ Jesus. And you know the old-fashioned altar not being used as much anymore. You say, well, the altar begins in my heart. You're absolutely right. But I don't know about you, but I take you back to Thomas who fell at the feet of Jesus. He's so full of himself and so full of pride, and he traveled with the rest of them. He said, I ain't going to believe it until I see the nail prints in his hand, the scars. I'm not going to believe any of it. And as soon as, till I can stick my finger in there. And when Jesus showed up, he fell at his feet. Are y'all listening to me? And he worshiped the Lord. The last time you just fell at his feet and worshiped the Lord. You know, sometime my wife will remind me. She said, what'd you say? Say anything. What do you mean, what did I say? You know what she's looking for? She's looking for, I love you. That's what she's looking for. But you know what? One thing to say I love you is another thing to buy her a necklace. It's also another thing, as I said earlier, you want a marriage last 45 years? Gentlemen, just say yes, ma'am. All 45 years. With a little bit of IE on the end of it. But anyways, are y'all listening? He's just looking for you and I to really love Him. To really love Him. Not just say, yeah, I love the Lord. No, really love Him. I'm talking about loving with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Go back to Matthew now. Matthew, hurry. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Notice verse 37. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, soul, or with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Remember, Luke added the word strength in his. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We'll talk more about that later this week, but understand this. Look at verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Look up here. On those two commandments, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Luke said, and then loving others. Are you with? Everything else we do hangs on those two truths right there. Ten commandments are good. You know the five and the five. Y'all know how it's broke down. But these are the two main commandments. These are the greatest commandments, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will obey God. We will do what God said to do, and we will do it with joy. And we will do it with expectancy of His blessings, of His approval. But what we got to do is find our way back. Oh, I don't mean you've gone back to the old life in such a major way that nobody can recognize you any longer, but you know what? We pick on Peter a lot. And yet Peter finally, in that last thing, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love thee. And look up here. I think the Lord knew he loved him before he ever asked him the first time. But he had to get him back where he needed to be. Stay with me. And he did. Everybody who's ever preached said that Peter settled the love question. And he did. How'd that work out? Anybody remember a day called the day of Pentecost? And Peter preached on that day? And nearly 3,000 souls were saved. And baptized. They had a busy day, didn't they? You ever thought what might happen if we ever loved him like Peter did? Supremely, actively, and openly. And we found our place in the work of God. And we fell at his feet and answered that same question. By the way, ought to answer it every so often. Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, how much do you love me? I give you my life. There's some here today, you've never been saved. If you died right now sitting in church, you'd end up in a devil's hell. God doesn't want that. That's why he sent his only begotten son to die in your stead so that you could have everlasting life. But you got to come. You got to come to him. He's come to you. He's given it all. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He left the Holy Ghost of God to speak to the lost people and to live inside the believer. We got to listen to him. And bring us back to his feet once in a while. And this morning would be a good morning to bring us to his feet. That way we can come close to him and allow him to speak to us. There are some things in your lives that ought not be there. There's some of you robbing God of your tithes and your offerings. You can't rob God of your tithe and offering and be right with God in any other area. You can't do it. It's an impossibility if you believe this book. But I like tithing. I like when he opens up the windows of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
But I like also when he uses my life and I get to see the blessings of it. How many of you want God to love you and allow you to serve him from this day forward? Anybody want that? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you want that. How many of you today can say, I love the Lord now because I love him supremely. I'm loving him actively and I'm loving openly. By the way, openly goes out soul winning. Openly goes out and tells others on the job. Openly goes out and speaks to others in the neighborhood. Openly just leaves tracks everywhere you can leave them with the love of God written inside. Can you do that this morning? How much do you love the Lord? That's the question of the hour. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you. He already knew Peter. He already knew how Peter loved him, but he wanted to hear it come from Peter's heart and Peter's lips. And then the Lord gave him that responsibility. Preached on that one day. I don't know a preacher in my entire life that's ever preached on one day and had 3,000 souls saved. Most preachers I know would have a heart attack and they'd have to have his funeral the next 2 or 3 days. Y'all still believe the Bible?
Yes,
it happened that way.
Amen.
Because one man gave him everything. Because God gave him everything. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many in here?